We're good?
Okay. Shavua Tov, everybody. Thank you very much, Rabbi Schreier, for introducing me. I appreciate it very much. And it's always a pleasure for me to come here to this shul to begin the slichos and to begin the process of tshuva. You know, this year we are very fortunate that we have a full set of slichos, because the way it's configured, and Rosh Hashanah doesn't start till next week, on Tuesday, Monday night, we get a chance to say all of the slichos. And I'm sure that all of you are so thrilled. Aren't you? You're so thrilled that this year we could say even more slichos than we've ever said before. And I wonder sometimes, you know, like, isn't it amazing to be able to say slichos? You say words that you don't understand. And not only don't you understand the words, but you also have to get up early in the morning to say it. It's not bad enough that you could say it later in the day. You've got to get up early in the morning to say these words that you really don't understand and you really don't comprehend. And I wonder what would happen this year, because of COVID, if the rabbis got together as a group and said, because of COVID, this year we've decided to cancel the slichos. Do you think there would be a protest on Yellowstone Boulevard? You think there would be thousands of people out there with big signs, we want slichos? It makes not saying tachanun so much better. No slichos. No one would complain. No one would say a word. The world would go on. Why? Because, unfortunately, slichos hasn't yet gotten the attention that I think of Tisha B'Av. You know, Tisha B'Av, many years ago, we didn't really feel what Tisha B'Av was all about. And then I give Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weiner, who was the former executive vice president of the OU, credit, because when he was rabbi in Baltimore, in Shomrei Emunah, he started a new program for Tisha B'Av. We would then get all the videos. And today, what's Tisha B'Av? It's an incredible day. Videos and shiurim and all kind of things going on. This doesn't necessarily happen with slichos. And I know myself, personally, I never felt this strong connection to slichos. What can I do to improve it? What can I do to make it better? Because in essence, what is slichos all about? You know how I use it? I'm going to use a sports analogy. Slichos is the spring training for tshuva. It's the spring training for the high holidays. If you don't have slichos, you can't get ready for the Yom Ha'Noraim. Because you may think that in slichos, at the end of slichos, God already says, Slachna, that's it, we finished. No. I want you to understand, what makes slichos special is that slichos is really the getting the ticket to get into the palace of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next 8 days, as we say slichos in the morning or at night, whenever you say it, if you say it with the right kavanah, if you understand it, what you're really basically saying is that when Yom Ha'Noraim come, when Rosh Hashanah starts, I want to be ready. I want to have a ticket. Because if you don't have a ticket, you can't get in. And that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to get ourselves ready to have the ticket to get ready for Yom Ha'Noraim. And so what did I have to do? And I'm going to talk to you personally about what I had to do, because I had to change my whole philosophy about slichos. I had to make it meaningful. I had to make it something relevant to me, because it wasn't. And if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure there are people here who will agree that it's not always very relevant to them. So what can we do to change that? And I think you have to take a look at the words. First, get yourself a salicha. Get yourself a machzer, a sitter, whatever you have, and make it meaningful. Maybe it has English, maybe it has interpretations. The art scroll has several of them. But get yourself something interesting that you can really see the words and understand the words. And when you start, the very first words you start with almost, every single day, L'cha Hashem Hatztaka, V'lanu boshes hapanim. Comes from Sefer Daniel. And what is it about? And I really rather wrote it in a way that we can understand it. Because then maybe the tefillah has more meaning. What we say to Hashem is, God, we say, we're ashamed. We're ashamed. What can we say? What can we tell you? What do we possibly say to you, God, tonight or today? We are the most fortunate people in the world. And I think it's absolutely true. Aren't we the most fortunate people in the world? Are there places, would you like to live in Afghanistan today? Would you like to be involved in some of those things? I always used to think about this. I used to play tennis a lot. And you know how it is when you go through life, there are certain people you meet who you don't know. You meet them on the train, you meet them on a plane, you meet them in the supermarket, you meet them on the street. You don't know them, but they somehow have the same schedule as you. And when I was finished playing tennis, as I would get into my car and go down the block, there was a woman on two crutches. And I would watch her struggle to get to the bus station. And I would say to myself, what a foolish person I am. I'm worried about my backhand. Is that really what I'm worried about? I'm worried that I lost the set. Okay, I was worried, but that's not the point. But the fact is, you know, I said to myself, what am I doing? Look at this person. So we're basically saying to God, look, we are so fortunate. What are we going to say to you? We understand completely that we don't deserve whatever we're asking for, we don't deserve. But we want to return to you. We want to return to you, God. And we know your right hand is open. Yamin Makariv, your right hand is always open for us. And I'm coming here with nothing. I have nothing in my bank account. I have nothing in my arsenal. I have no reason to ask you for anything because I don't deserve it. This is absolutely true. But we're knocking on your door. We're still knocking on your door. We don't care. We're still knocking on your door. So don't turn us away. And I know you hear my tefillos. This is what it is. This is what this prayer is about. And why did it come from Sefer Daniel? Because Daniel lived in a time period before the Churban Bayis Rishon. And he was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. And he lived in Babel, and he longed to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And he kept counting the 70 years. When is the time going to be over that I can return to my beloved country, Eretz Yisrael? And he turns to Hashem with these words. Exactly the words we're going to say tonight. Could you imagine? You're saying words tonight that someone said, Daniel, a great Navi, said 2,500 years ago. Exactly the same words. When he was longing to come back to Eretz Yisrael. L'cha Hashem hatzdakah v'lanu boshes hapanim. Daniel says, you know what? We deserve to be exiled. But now, he says, we want to return. We want to return to you. And so when you say those words tonight, and you say those words for the next 8 days, think about it. How profound those words really are. They're not so simple. And then the very first slichos that we're going to say tonight, the very first slichos, Ech niftach peh. God, how am I going to open my mouth to talk to you? Where do I have the right? How do I have the audacity to even talk to you? Like we say when we daven Shmon Esrei, Hashem sefasai tiftach, we ask God, give us the ability to please open our mouth. I remember many years ago, not that many years ago, when George W. Bush was the president of the United States. And I had the great fortune during those years when I was president of the Orthodox Union. And we were invited to the White House to meet with the president right before Rosh Hashanah. I learned so much about davening Rosh Hashanah. I learned so many things, but I had to give him a present. It's interesting, by the way, when we read about Bikurim and giving the first fruits, and we talk about having a beautiful basket, and you think about it, did the president really need something beautiful? But we, of course, went out. We had to find a beautiful present for him. So we found the speech that George Washington had given in the Newport Synagogue, in Touro Synagogue, guaranteeing freedom of religion to America, to the Jews in America. And we presented it to him. And I had the plaque with me, and we were there, and I had my speech in my pocket. And I didn't know what to do. I was holding the plaque. And I had the speech in my pocket. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. President, I have the speech in my pocket. Would you mind if I take it out? He says, why don't you just say what's in your heart? Why don't you just tell me what's in your heart? And I told him what was in my heart. I thanked him for a lot of things that he did, but I think about this so often. Hashem sefasai tiftach, ech niftach peh. We think about it when you're going to talk to God. What are you really going to say? And I remember times when Obama was a president, when President Obama, and I was in the White House waiting in the Roosevelt room with a group of other Jewish leaders, and we were going to ask a question. Each one was allowed to ask at least one or two questions. And you're thinking about what question you're going to ask, exactly how are you going to ask it. And that's exactly what you have to say when you say slichas. Hashem sefasai tiftach, you're opening my eyes, you're opening my mouth to talk. And so what did I have to do to make slichas more meaningful, to have some reason to say slichas? But you have to daven with the tzibur, al tifrosh min tzibur. So I always make it my business to make sure that when I come to shul for slichas, I'm always saying, Hashem, keil erech apayim, Hashem, Hashem, keil rachum v'chanun, keil melech yoshev al kisei rachamim. All those things I say with the tzibur, because I want to be part of the congregation. But then, and I'm sorry, the chazan maybe doesn't like it, but I return to my private world, my own world, my own Steve Savitsky world. And I read what I want to read. And I look at the slichos that may have meaning for me. And sometimes on the bottom I have things, and I have a little yellow marker, and I mark off the things that I want. And I'm lost. I'm in a different world completely. I'm in a world alone, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when the congregation comes to Hashem, Hashem, Kerach Mechanu, and I join again. But I find this so meaningful. It's like amazing to me. And I read sometimes things, and I think about it. When we read tonight, Kel Melech Yoshev, and we say, Mavir Rishon, Rishon. We ask God, please, take away one sin at a time. Just one. I don't want so much. I just want one. I want my actions to count. I want today to be a very meaningful day. Why do I want it to be meaningful? So I could come into Rosh Hashanah lighter. I want to come in better shape. I want to take eight things. I have 8 days. I want to come in 8 pounds lighter of averus. I want to come in with 8 new things that I want to do during these Yom HaNoraim. So when I come in to Rosh Hashanah that night, I am ready, ready, able, and willing to start to take the process to make sure that I have that ticket to get into the gate. That's what I want. And I want to change it. And I think everyone maybe could do it. As I say, I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm telling you what I do. What I had to do to make slichas meaningful to me. Because it wasn't. I'm being honest with you. It wasn't. And so I had to change it. I had to change something in my life. And this is what I did. It doesn't mean you have to do it. If what you find meaningful now, continue to do it. If not, find something else that can make you meaningful. But I wanted to find one thing every single day that can make my life better than it was. So when I come into Rosh Hashanah, I could say, I did something very positive for myself. When we say those wonderful words, Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila, we say to God, listen to my words. Listen to what my singing is. Because tshuva was created before the world was created. God understood very clearly that if we don't have tshuva in our world, we can't go on. We need tshuva, otherwise we just get lost. You know, I'm going to give it a baseball analogy. For some people who are baseball fans, I don't know how many are, but there's a very meaningful date. It's called July 31st. Anyone know what it is? July 31st? It's an important day in the baseball world. Why? Because that's the last day that you could trade your players. And so teams have to decide by July 31st, are they buyers or are they sellers? Is their season over? And if their season is over, let's get rid of all the players we don't need. But if they still think they're in contention, if they still think they have a chance, they're going to buy. They're going to buy. And that's what it is. July 31st is an important day. I happen to be a Yankee fan, and so I'm lucky because they're always buyers. The Yankees are always buyers. They're never sellers. Because they think every year, yes, we have a chance. And that's really what tshuva is all about. We are buyers. Tshuva allows us to be buyers all of our life. If you're 30, or if you're 60, or if you're 90, or if you've lived a life where you know, everything has gone wrong, you haven't done anything, it makes no difference. July 31st Yamim Narayim, Salichas, we are all buyers. That's what Hashem said. Don't give up because you could always improve. You're never alone. You're never in despair. That's not what happens. And I want to then end with what we end Slichas with. At the end of the Slichas every day, we have 20 different parts. Misha'ana, God who answered. Who did he answer? He answered Avram Avinu. He answered Yosef. He answered Mordechai and Esther. He answered all these people. Why do we need 20 different times? Why do we need that? And thinking about it, I understood very clearly. The reason is because all of those situations are totally different. I urge you to look at those Misha Anas and pick out one maybe every day, or else pick out one for the whole Yom Narayim. And say, what was the situation with that Misha Ana? What was that person in? What was it like for Avram Avinu to be on Har Moriah? What did he feel? What did Mordechai and Esther feel when the entire world was now going to come to an end because it was an edict that said that on the 13th of Adar they were going to be killed? What do you think they felt like? Eliyahu and Har Carmel. They give you so many different examples because all the different emotions you could think of are in that tefillah of Misha Ana. There's anxiety. There's depression. There's lack of understanding. There are life and death situations. There's betrayal. There's helplessness. There's a feeling of woe is me. There's no end in sight. Total despair. Hopelessness. I'm between a rock and a hard place. Loneliness. And in all of those situations, God answered. So no matter what your situation is, no matter where you're at tonight, no matter what you think your world is like, Misha Ana, someone in that prayer was in worse shape than you are. And God answered them. So take one and make it your theme, maybe for the whole Yontif. I decided this year I'm taking one. I'm taking one of them, one of those Misha Anos, and I'm going to incorporate them into my life for this year, for my family, because I think we need it in our family this year. And what is that one? It comes from Malachim Bet. Misha Ana l'chizkiyahu, melech Yehuda, b'chalyo. God who answered Chizkiyahu when he was sick. And you came to his rescue. What's the story in Malachim Bet? Yeshayahu Anavi is told by God, I have a mission for you. Go and speak to Chizkiyahu and tell him, unfortunately, he's going to die. He has an illness that is incurable. I don't even want to talk about all the times we hear about people that were healthy and they went to the doctor and next thing you know, whatever it was, and it was so short and so few and if they had a few days and they were great and so on and so forth. Imagine what it's like if your Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu HaNavi comes to you and says to you, guess what? It's over. Your life is over. What do you think he felt like? And what does Chizkiyahu do? He starts to pray with all his heart and all of his soul. And he starts to cry. Yeshayahu walks out of the room. And before he even leaves the courtyard, Hashem says to him, wait a second. Yeshayahu, go back and tell Chizkiyahu that I changed my mind. Shamati es tefilas echa. Tell him I heard his prayers. Ra'isi es demasecha. I saw those tears that he had. Hinani rofelach. I decided that he's going to be okay. Imagine what it was, the power of tefillah. Yeshayahu sees the power of tefillah at Chizkiyahu HaMelech. All of a sudden now, because of his sincere prayers, because he cried from the bottom of his heart, the depth of his heart, Mimamakim, and he cried tears. Hashem says to him, Ra'isi es demasecha, I saw your tears, I heard your tefillos, I am now going to cure you. Misha Ana, That's an important one. And I want to incorporate that in my life now for the next few weeks as we do our tefillos. And every time I think of that, I want to think about it and say that with more fervor and more vigor and more kavana. Take one, I'm telling you. Take one and say, I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what it is. Someone's looking for a shidduch. Someone's looking for a job. Someone doesn't have parnasa. Someone's sick. Someone's this. Someone has to find a house. Whatever it is. Think of the people in that tefillah. Think of those people, and there's someone like you. And Misha Ana, God answered them. That's what it's about. So now as we begin slichas, let's kind of put a whole new frame of reference. What we're here to do now is to get a seat at the door. We're here to get a ticket for Tuesday night that God's going to let us into the palace. And how do we do it? Find a way. Incorporate it yourself into your own life. Find a way of making slichas meaningful. Make it something that really changes you. And look at the things that I did. What I did, you don't have to do it. I'm going to continue to do it because it's working for me. Find something that's going to work for you. And if you find that, indeed, l'shmoel harina vela tefila, God will listen to our beautiful tefilos, and I'll listen to our beautiful songs. So we begin tonight a very special time. I wish and pray and hope all of us have a kesiva, v'chsima tova, and a good gebenshir. Thank you.